Edema, where heaven and earth have met. Since the day our Blessed Mother visited her cousin Elizabeth, she has never stopped visiting her people and care for them in time of need, reminding them of the gospel of her Son. This happened in Guadalupe, Mexico, and then in Lourdes, France. Let us now hear what was the purpose and message of her visitation in Fatima on every 13th of the month from May to October in 1917. Here now is the director of Radio Maria Canada, Father George Amaro.
Welcome, brothers and sisters, to another program about Fatima. Fatima started in May, and we are indeed in May, on the 13th of May. And we are speaking now, just now we said, why was Portugal chosen for this particular visitation of our Blessed Mother that was transversal to the whole 20th century? Why was Portugal chosen? And we said that it was at least two things, because Portugal is called the land of Holy Mary, and also because Our Lady is the real queen of Portugal, because the kings and queens in Portugal, they don't wear the crown since 1640. So she is the queen of Portugal, and as a matter of fact, the statue of Our Lady of Fatima was the first to be crowned with a real crown. And we will be speaking about this real crown later on the program. So we have given reasons to say why Portugal was chosen. Let us look at the reasons why Fatima was chosen. Why Fatima? Well, I want to read to you from the prophet Micah, chapter 5, verse 2. But you, O Bethlehem of Ephratah, who are one of the little clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to rule in Israel. I mention this text because Fatima is a very poor village, and it looks like it would be like Bethlehem. Bethlehem is not far from Jerusalem, and the big Jerusalem, that's the big town. Bethlehem was not really regarded an important place. Is a rocky, if I compare it, Bethlehem is very much like Fatima, is on the top of a mountain, a rocky ground, not good for agriculture, and so it's somehow useless. So the reading has a meaning that, you should be not to disconsider yourself. So it is Fatima. Fatima is also rocky ground. It's not an important place. Is on the top of a mountain. It's called aire, that means air, because it's not very far from the ocean. And as a matter of fact, if you go, I grew up in Fatima, and I find lots of petrified shells and other fish from the Atlantic Ocean, because Fatima used to be under the ocean a long time ago. And it's a mountain, although not very high, but it's very windy. It's very windy, and so not a good place to live because it's windy most of the time. So you find around Fatima in the old days, you would find these windmills to make flour, taking advantage of the wind. And now if you go there, you don't find these windmills because we don't do flour with windmills anymore, not even with water mills. And in Portugal, there were also tide mills that work with the tide in the Atlantic Ocean, in the coast, in the south of Lisbon. But now you find in these sierra, in these mountains, you will find wind turbines. Portugal and Spain, they are full of wind turbines. These mountains, they belong to a central system. This is the same mountains that come from up Madrid in Spain, and it's the central system that comes from Cantabria, north of Spain. It's transversal to the Iberia Peninsula. And the mountains from my birthplace, too, belong to this system, and they divide the Iberian Peninsula in two. They come from north, northeast to southwest. They end up just a little bit over Lisbon. And so this chain of mountains, the system, the central system, they are very windy, and this particular mountain is called the Air Mountain. And it is on the top of this Air Mountain that the Fatima is established. Now a town, but at that time was a village, over 2,000 people lived there. There are no really fields, because even in where you can, the little fields that are there, they are filled with rocks. It's difficult to work them because there are little rocks everywhere, because it was on the bottom of the sea. And so it's only good for grazing, for the sheep and the goats, because between these rocks you find good plants grow and herbs grow, and that's what the sheep want. So this is a village mainly made of shepherds, some agriculture in the lower parts, but made of shepherds. So it's very much, you know, I know Bethlehem. I lived in Jerusalem for a while, and I know Bethlehem well, and I really can compare them. They are more or less the same. And it comes to my mind now also another text from Luke 13, when Jesus says, "Ho to you, Chorazin, ho to you, Bethsaida, for if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have been repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted to the heavens? No, you will go down to Hades." Well, Jesus said that to these towns where he performed most of his miracles. It's interesting that it looks like Jesus performed miracles in Chorazin. I've been there, I've seen Chorazin. He's on the top of a mountain too, Chorazin. You see the lake below. So it looks like in Chorazin they were performed miracles. And the Bethsaida we know. Chorazin appears in the Gospel only these ones. And so we don't know, there are no records of miracles or any speeches or any events that happened in Chorazin. And yet it's here, so it means that Jesus did something there, and more than in other places. So that shows us how little we know about Jesus. But I believe, and the church believes, that all we know about Jesus is more than enough. What we know, or the little we know about Jesus, is more than enough for our faith, and as a narrative for the human race. And we can say that the mission of the Son of God was well accomplished with this little. 3 years, or 3 years according to John, or 1 year according to the synopticals. Well, but it was more than enough. But we do know about Bethsaida. Bethsaida is from where Philip, the apostle, is, but also Andrew and Peter, they are from Bethsaida, and Bethsaida means house of fish. And so we do know that in Bethsaida he has done something. Indeed, in Tyre and Sidon, he was there, but was there not to perform miracles. He was there just to be away with his disciples in a quiet place, so he could be with them and teaching them. And but Capernaum, yes, Capernaum in this list appears to be the place where Jesus did most of his preaching. It was somehow, after he left Nazareth, it was his ground zero, where he would return when he would come from Judea, or where would return from other places that he was visiting. So somehow his house was Capernaum. So we know about these the miracles and speeches that have happened around Capernaum. But interestingly, so this came to be true. Chorazin is destroyed. See, I've seen it. Chorazin is destroyed. Bethsaida, it doesn't exist. And Capernaum, it doesn't exist either. So, in a way, these towns cursed when Jesus said, "Woe to you, Chorazin, woe to you, Bethsaida." And the other towns that were very little comparing to Nazareth was little. Nazareth, where Jesus grew up, and Bethlehem, where he was born. Nazareth is in Galilee, and Bethlehem is in Judea, close to Jerusalem. These were very small towns. And Nazareth again. Nazareth is the same as Bethlehem. It's rocky ground, is on the top of a mountain, the same as Fatima. Nazareth and Bethlehem, they are the same towns. Now Bethlehem is a big, big town, and Nazareth is a big, big town, and Fatima is also a big town. But they were small, So to say, this prophet Micaiah, he did say it right. The small ones grew up and still exist. The big ones at that time, because they didn't answer to God's calling, they don't exist anymore. Now, the question, was it a curse? Was it a curse? No, God doesn't curse. God doesn't curse. Although it looks like in the Bible you see that God curses, but God doesn't curse. God only blesses. Curse is a bad thing, and God doesn't do bad things. People curse, we curse, but God doesn't curse. But your blessing turns into a curse, when you don't accept that blessing. That is it. Let's continue after a small pause. Okay, as we were saying, that I was comparing Bethlehem and Nazareth, the place where Jesus was born and the place where he grew up, Nazareth, Bethlehem in Judea and Nazareth in Galilee. They were they were small towns, miserable towns, I would say, and yet they grew up and they exist today. The big towns of that time, of those times, Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum, they don't exist anymore because they didn't answer the call. You know, if you turn away from the blessing, if you don't accept God wants to bless you and God blesses you, but if you, because God only knows how to bless, he doesn't curse, he doesn't do bad things. So, but if you turn away from this blessing, you turn the blessing of God into a curse. It's you that turn the blessing of God into a curse. It's not, it's rejecting the blessing of God that becomes your curse. Rejecting the blessing of God. I would say, look at the young rich ruler from Luke Gospel, the one that was called by Jesus, but he couldn't leave his possessions. So somehow he was cursed by his possessions. He was cursed by his bad options. It's an option, you see. It's you decide not to accept the blessing of God, because God loves everybody. He doesn't love one a person more than the other. And so the same love is for everybody. But in some people, that love really grows and turns into a good thing, into many graces, and they see God in their lives, they experience Him in their lives. Others, they don't accept, they reject that blessing, they turn their backs to God, and of course God can do nothing. And since without me, we say in the last Sunday, without me you can do nothing. So without God we can do nothing, and that's why the blessing turns into a curse. So never say that God curses is we are the ones who curse ourselves when we turn away from Him. Now we are saying, why Fatima? And Fatima is very much like Nazareth and Bethlehem. It was a very small village, insignificant village, like Nazareth and Bethlehem, and it turned into a big town. It is now a big town. It is now a big town, not as big as Nazareth or Bethlehem, I believe, but still a sizable town. People in that village, they, as I told you, they were mostly shepherds, because there was little agriculture you could do, because it was difficult to work out that ground, that rocky ground. Now, there is an history of Fatima. You know, Fatima is the beloved daughter of Mohammed. That's this Fatima. You know, remember that we told the story that the Iberian Peninsula was conquered by the Muslims. The whole of the peninsula was conquered by the Muslims, and they went up to France. They crossed the Pyrenees up to Poitiers, where they were defeated by Carlos Martel. So this place, Fatima, was called Fatima for the name of the beloved daughter of Mohammed. Sorry, Mohammed had many women, as you know, and from them and the concubines, and he had many kids, but no male kid reached adulthood. They all died as kids and teenagers, no male kid reached adulthood. And so he remained, although he had many wives, we don't know of any other children other than Fatima, the beloved daughter of Mohammed. And so this place was called Fatima, naming because of that beloved daughter of Mohammed. At the time of the 12th century, that the first king of Portugal was making up Portugal, was coming south, conquering the land of the Muslims. He came to this place, and this Gonçalo Hermínguez, was one of the warriors of the of Alfonso Henriques, the first king of Portugal. And he captured many Muslims. Among the Muslims was a lady called Fatima. There was a lady called Fatima. So he wanted, and he loved that lady. She was very beautiful. And so he asked the king to marry that lady called Fatima. But the king said, you can marry her, but she has to convert to Christianity. He has to convert to Christianity indeed, and she converted to Christianity and took the name of Oriana. Oriana, which brings us to the town of Ourém. If you go to Fatima, in Fatima is a town, but there is no municipality. The municipality of Fatima is Ourém. Ourém. And the word Ourém comes from this lady that used to be called Fatima, and probably she was there from Fatima, but it was given the name of Oriana. And so we have already two towns because of this lady, Fatima and Ourém. Now, if you go to Fatima, the place where Our Lady appeared, it's not Fatima is 3 kilometers away from the place where Our Lady appeared, and this place is called Cova da Iria. Cova da Iria. Cova, it's like a small valley. It's in on the top of this plateau. There is a small valley that is Cova da Iria. So, and that place. In that small valley, that was the place where Our Lady appeared. Now, later on, we'll tell you that this place where Our Lady appeared was not a public place. You know, that land belonged to someone, and belonged to Lucia, belonged to the family of Lucia, and that's why Lucia was there with her cousins, tending the flock, because they were not in a public place. You couldn't go to a public place, and they were in this place that belonged to Lucia's family. And this is very important. It's very important because when the government forbidden the people to gather there, they couldn't not really forbid people, because it was not a public place. That was a private place. Anyway, we will be talking about that later on in the program. Now, this Iria comes from another woman's name, Irene. Irene. This Irene, it's also, there is also a legend attached to this Irene. It was at the time of the Romans, so long before the Muslims came to Iberia Peninsula. At the time of the Romans, there was a maiden called Irene, on the banks of the river Nabon, which is it's a river that crosses Tomar. Tomar is a town that belonged to the Knights of Templar, and you can see a very beautiful castle belonging to the Knights of Templar in Tomar. So she received the education, this Irene, in a monastery. She received nearby in a monastery of the Benedictine nuns. She was endowed with great beauty and intelligence. The young Irene attracted the attention of both the monk Remigio, that was her spiritual director, and the young Earl Britaldo. So both wanted her. Motivated by jealousy, the former, so this monk Remigio, a bad monk, gave her a potion to make her appear pregnant. Upon seeing her in this condition, pregnant, the other, the Earl Britaldo, killed her and threw her to this river. Now, this river that's called Nabon, flows to another river called Zezer, and this Zezer flows to another river that is called Tagus, that is a big river because that's the one that flows up to Lisbon, and there, but long before Lisbon, it reaches a town that is today now called Santarém. Santarém, as you can see, it comes from Saint Irene, because her body was found in the banks of the river. They came from the river Nabon to the river Zezer, from the Zezer came to the river Tagus, and the Tagus that crosses this place, this big town, now is a big town and is very popular because there are many Gothic monuments there. So this it's called Santarém, that comes from Saint Irene. So, and Saint Irene is the district capital of Fatima. So it's all together linked. And next time I must still say something about Saint Irene, because in Santarém is where it happened an Eucharistic miracle. I will be speaking about that next program. Till then, have a nice time.
You have been listening to Fatima, Where Heaven and Earth Have Met, with Father George Amaro. Thank you for joining us today, and we pray that this program is an encouragement to you. Please join us here on Radio Maria Canada, where Father George Amaro will continue his teaching about our Blessed Mother and the significance of Fatima.